It's the Rob Carson Show. Are you ready to be pod smacked? Now, here's Rob Carson.
Hello and welcome to the show for this October 23rd, 2017. Glad to have you with me today. Got a huge show planned for you. A lot of the times when I come to the daily video podcast, I feel like a kid coming back from summer vacation, eager to share what I've discovered. And there have been many discoveries, a lot of things being spoken about this weekend. If you wouldn't mind, would you please become a member of LibertyOneTV.com? LibertyOneTV.com. All it costs is $10 a month, 33 cents a day. We've just signed some major talent. And I've got a good buddy who's a big political commentator. He's getting ready to put pen to paper to join this network. It's growing, folks. It's growing. We'd appreciate your help. LibertyOneTV.com, 33 cents a day, $99 a year. $10 a month is all it takes. I'd greatly appreciate it. For those of you listening on my podcast, it's episode number 193. You can, of course, find it on iTunes. You can find it on iHeartRadio, TuneIn, Player FM, Google Play, Google Plus, YouTube, Audio Boom and SoundCloud, among other places. And, of course, also on the Podcast Radio Network, podcastradionetwork.com, where it runs every night, 6 o'clock Eastern, 5 o'clock Central. Okay. So what's going on? Well, let's start with NFL protests over the weekend. There were none. Did you know that? There were none. ESPN has been running a tracking site where they list how many NFL players protest. And there were none. Now, there were some people, four players remained out of sight until the anthem was over. Titans receiver Richard Matthews stayed in the locker room. Dolphins receiver Kenny Stills, tight end Julius Thomas. Safety Michael Thomas remained in the tunnel. So that's what happened this weekend. The players have gotten the message that this is going to cost them. I mean, it will cost them merchandise, your next contract. If the league tanks or suffers anymore, you're going to get paid less. That's it. And the protests are pointless. You know, they're based on a lie, first of all, that police officers are killing black men wholesale, which is just not true. And also, there's no finish line. There's no finish line. There's no, oh, okay, when this happens, then I will go ahead and stand again. So it's pointless. And there are a million other ways they could go about it if they chose to do so. Ben Stein was, I like Ben Stein. I think he's fantastic. You know, his voice leaves a little bit to be desired. But Ben Stein is a great guy. He was on Fox News Channel's Cavuto on Business talking about institutional racism, because that's what the protests have kind of evolved slightly, or devolved, I should say. And they're not just about police officers shooting unarmed black men, because that narrative is not working. And it's gone on to institutional racism. It's gone on to equal pay for women, among other things, I've heard some people say. It's collapsing under its own weight. And here's Ben Stein talking about institutional racism in the country.
You know, these guys are a bunch of sulking big babies. They don't know what they're talking about. There's no institutional racism in America at all anymore. If they want to do their free speech thing, God bless them. Let them do their free speech thing. But let's ignore them from then on. Let's just ignore them like they're bad babies, and we don't want to hear them crying off in the corner. Yes, there's racism. Yes, Adam, there's racism. I agree. There's
That's
racism.
That's not my point.
There's racism in every human being. Sorry, but there's no institutional racism in America anymore. It's gone, garnished.
It is, and it's illegal. It's illegal. The only institutional racism that exists is what exists on campuses by moving people of certain ethnic groups to the front of the pack and putting others behind. That's the institutional racism that's happening. That's happening on campuses everywhere, you know. So I'm gonna agree with Ben on that one. I'm going to agree with Ben on that one. Oh, Justin Timberlake is going to be halftime. This is pretty funny, actually. 13 years ago is when Justin Timberlake and Janet Jackson did the wardrobe malfunction, which I was thinking about again. It's just absurd on the face of it, because they went through rehearsals. Everybody knew this was going to happen. It was part of the routine. And it just, the whole thing, as I was remembering last night, it's just so stupid. Here he is being interviewed over the weekend, and he says that's not going to happen again.
At any point in the ask, do they say, hey, just
the last time. There's a little wardrobe thing. Can we make sure that doesn't happen? And as long as we're good with that, then we're good with you.
That won't happen.
No.
There was a little bit of that, but no, Mike, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, you know, the thing that really bothered me the most about this is, do you know who paid for that? Do you know who paid for the sins of Justin Timberlake and Janet Jackson? Radio did. The FCC went after radio, of all things. There was a major crackdown. I remember WEBN in Cincinnati. They used to run songs, had uncensored F-bombs in them. And everything, and whatever you feel about that, you know, whatever. You hear the F-bomb so many times anymore, it's really like, so who cares? I don't prefer to use it in my podcast because I wouldn't use that kind of language around people I don't know. And you guys, I think it maybe give you a bad impression of me. You know what I'm saying? I'm not meaning to be a wuss. Don't get me wrong. I have some salty language at times, but I just don't do it here. But radio paid for it. EBN yanked everything. They cleaned out their website. They used to have all sorts of stuff on their website that was, you know, a lot of naked women and stuff. And radio ended up paying for the sins of broadcast television. It made no sense whatsoever. It really did. It swept the country. It changed radio, of all things, which was stupid because radio didn't do anything. Oh, if you want to go to the World Series, you know, we've got LA and we got Houston. I'm glad that Houston's in there, not the Yankees. Kind of tired of the Yankees. Dodgers have one of the largest markets in baseball. As of Sunday, the average ticket price to see the Dodgers play in the World Series goes for $3,332. Now, I guess this is in LA, all of the games. Average price for the Astros, $2,144. Apparently. If you don't, so whatever. While both teams have average prices that are historically high, the Dodgers market is 10 times as big as the Astros, so that's the reason. Real-time data shows the ticket prices for Game 1 at Dodger Stadium started about $1,000. 4,000 tickets remaining. A cheap ticket for Game 2 could cost about $850. Games 3 and 4 in Houston are projected to be $850 for both games. Those planning to see Game 7 now might be a smart time to consider purchasing. The pre-series average for a final game, $5,524. The pregame low is nearly $1,200. This is according to Ticket IQ. I'm not going. The most expensive ticket that I ever enjoyed was a friend of mine got tickets to what turned out to be Mark McGwire's 60-second home run game in 1998. And he paid $3,500 for four of them, and I got to go. Pretty cool. Over the weekend, five former presidents called for unity, bipartisanship, and pay a tribute to each other at a hurricane fundraiser. Of course, we know the presidents, Obama, Clinton, Carter, George H.W. and George W., and they were all there. Donald Trump was not, but here's part of the video message that he sent.
My fellow Americans, the heartbreaking devastation caused by Hurricanes Harvey and Irma and Maria and Nate, along with the terrible wildfires in California, have impacted millions of our fellow Americans. Now, as we begin to rebuild, some of America's finest public servants are spearheading the One America appeal. To Presidents Jimmy Carter, George H.W. Bush, Bill Clinton, George W. Bush, and Barack Obama, Melania and I want to express our deep gratitude for your tremendous assistance. This wonderful effort reminds us that we truly are one nation under God, all unified by our values and our devotion to one another.
Okay, so there is Donald Trump mentioning all five of the former presidents. The five former presidents didn't mention his name. They refused to mention him altogether. This shows what a band of insiders they are, I think. I'm really kind of disgusted by it, to be quite honest. George Bush went after Donald Trump without saying his name last week in a speech, his first speech. He kept quiet during Barack Obama's presidency as he trampled the Constitution. And this weekend at this benefit, I thought it was very tasteless and tactless for the presidents not to mention the current president, who I, by the way, think did a bang-up job with government agencies to heal three major hurricane areas. Although he faced dogged opposition, and we know what happened in Puerto Rico, with the mayor of San Juan biting the hand that feeds her, essentially. Here the former presidents are speaking last night.
67 million Americans who volunteered to help other people.
By the way, Jimmy Carter's 93 years old. He sounds younger than Bill Clinton.
People in America, worth $184 billion.
Can be a new beginning and prove that the heart of America, without regard to race or religion or political party, is greater than our problems.
All of us on this stage here tonight could not be prouder of the response of Americans when they see their neighbors and they see their friends, they see strangers in need, Americans step up.
I too am here to urge you to give to this fine fund, and I want to thank all the volunteers, but I'm here for another reason. I speak for the folks right here when I say we really admire and love George H.W. Bush.
There you go. And I'm not sure that George H.W. was able to speak, but he's getting up there. So speaking of tasteless and tactless, Hillary Clinton promoting her book was on the Graham Norton show on Friday. This is a European English show talking about how she tried to get out of Trump's inauguration, which I don't think is funny.
You know, I really tried to get out of going. You know, because I was going, not as the candidate or the opponent.
She really makes herself look like a really sore loser. Am I right?
But as a former first lady, because the tradition is presidents and former first ladies all show up, regardless of Republican or Democrat, to show support, continuity of our government. So, you know, we thought, okay, maybe others aren't going. So, you know, we called. called the Bushes, and the elder Bushes were in the hospital, which I think was legitimate. Bushes, and they said, yeah, we're going. We called the Carters. They said, yeah, we're going. So, you know, Bill and I looked at each other and said, well, we got to go. Oh, my gosh. I try to describe in the book what that felt like. George W. Bush, as it ends, says, that was some weird
Jeez. And finally, John McCain took a swipe at Donald Trump for some reason. Donald Trump got a deferment, I guess. A bone spur. I don't know. But anyway, he took a time to hit the president. He was talking about the Vietnam War, and out of nowhere, he just takes a shot at Donald Trump.
And one aspect of the conflict, by the way, that I will never, ever countenance is that we drafted the lowest income level of America, and the highest income level found a doctor that would say that they had a bone spur. That is wrong. That is wrong. If we're going to ask every American to serve, every American should serve.
I don't even know why 50 years later this needed to come up, but whatever. And then, John McCain last week went after a reporter for saying that he was going to try and stop everything that Trump did. It sounds like McCain has a real problem with the president. A lot of people do, and I'm getting kind of tired of it. Representative Frederica Wilson is calling for an apology from John Kelly, White House Chief of Staff, for character assassination. Here's the problem. You have to have character to begin with. This woman is a cartoon character. She's a rodeo clown. She said, not only does he owe me an apology, but he owes an apology to the American people. No, see, I'm one of those people, and I support this guy. And I do not want him to apologize because you are a wretched, awful human being. She referred to Kelly as a puppet of the president. You'll recall that Wilson called her an empty barrel. She showed her true colors when she took credit for securing $20 million for an FBI field office in Miami. And, like I said, I don't think she's an empty barrel. I think she's full of crap. I really do. I'm just fed up. I'm also fed up with the term white supremacist, calling people white supremacists or racists when they're not. Over the weekend, Frederica Wilson said the White House is full of white supremacists. They are making themselves look like fools. They have no credibility. She's mirroring what she looks like there. She does look like a fool. She does have no credibility. They're trying to assassinate my character. They are assassinating their own because everything they say is coming out and to be shown a lie. Stacey Plaskett, a Democrat and the Virgin Islands delegate to Congress, said she was especially offended that Donald Trump didn't remember or stumbled through LaDavid Johnson's name during a phone call, a condolence call to the family. Plaskett's doubling down, accusing Trump of assuming that parents of black children are unmarried. I don't know where that came from. I'm going to go out on a limb and guess that everyone involved here, from Wilson to Plaskett to the Johnsons themselves, weren't Trump fans to begin with. This is from a piece in Breitbart, and I agree. The racism charge against Kelly was designed to determine his to undermine his moral authority. But now that Wilson and other Dems keep hammering, it's just going to polarize the dispute along partisan lines. I think it's disgusting. I feel bad for LaDavid Johnson's widow. I'm praying for her. It's got to be agonizing. But I understand your loss, and it's awful. But the President of the United States, the most powerful man in the world, took time out of his schedule to call you, and you're bitching about it? Sorry. I know that's going to, you know, that's going to make some people mad, and we need to step aside and let her grieve and all this, but you cannot just say something like this in an attempt to embarrass the president and damage him politically. That's what Frederica Wilson is all about. And I have no doubt in my mind that she was coaching LaDavid Johnson's widow and using her. I'm going to hear some audio from her in just a second. If you wouldn't mind, check out some of the great designs that I have on my t-shirt and swag line. You'll see the link down here, tpublic.com/user/conservatees. You guys who are just listening, you can't see them, but they're really cool. tpublic.com/user/conservatees with two E's. Here are some of the designs. Proud climate change denier. Che Guevara. The iconic picture, but the slogan is murderous commie douchebag, not a hero. Veganism is an eating disorder. The coexist bumper sticker with religious symbols. You can't coexist when someone to kill you. My kid is not a snowflake. Calm down. She lost. He won. Get over it. Anyway, all of these are available. Oh, here's one. You know, the Priuses that you see that say war is not the answer. Well, guess what, folks? Sometimes war is the answer. All of these are available to put on t-shirts, on mugs, on phone covers, on laptop cases, all of that. And there are 62 designs up there right now, and there's some Stand for the Anthem ones that I think you're going to find really cool. Again, teepublic.com/user/conservatees. Check it out, okay? Here's what Donald Trump had to say about Frederica Wilson over the weekend.
The Congresswoman, Frederica Wilson, she said, oh, everything he said was because he's just trying to keep it.
By the way, that's Maria Bartiromo on Fox Business.
His job.
Yeah, he doesn't need this job. In fact, he didn't really want this job. He was so happy. You know, he's a military guy. He was doing this incredible job on the border and elsewhere. You know, he ran Homeland like nobody has ever run it. Down 78% at the border crossings.
That's incredible.
That's before the wall. He was, there's nobody close. You go to the original first day, there was nobody close to doing the job. And I said, I'd like to take you. How would you like it? And it's not that he wanted it. Actually, he would have preferred doing and staying where he was. He is a man that felt it would be important for the country. He does it for the country. He's not doing it for what he wants. He does it for the country. This is a very unusual man. So when she made that statement, I thought it was sickening.
What is really sickening is that this has overtaken the story of a brave young man losing his life in battle. And I think that he would If I were him, I'd be disgusted by it. I'm not going to try to put thoughts into the mind of a person who's gone, but I would have been disgusted by it. I realize your grief is profound, but at the same time, the president of the United States called you. A lot of times people get a letter. Trump invited at least one of the family members to the White House when you're in town, and I would assume he probably did the same with this family. You're not going to hear that, though, because Frederica Wilson isn't, she didn't hear the entire phone call, she says, even though it was on speakerphone. Now, she's not sharing the good parts. It really is. It's just sordid and awful. And Maisha Johnson appeared on Good Morning America today to talk about her husband. And, of course, George Stephanopoulos offered the usual, "We're so sorry. We hope you feel our prayers." Now let's get to the good stuff. Rip on Trump. Here's the first soundbite from Maisha Johnson.
And we was literally on the airport strip getting ready to get out. And he called Master Sergeant Neil's phone. I asked Master Sergeant Neil to put his phone on speaker so my aunt and uncle could hear as well. And he goes on to saying his statement as what he said was...
The president.
Yes, the president. Said,
get to it. I want to clarify that this is the president because I want to inflict as much political damage as I can.
That he knew what he signed up for, but it hurts anyways. And I was... It made me cry because I was very angry at the tone of his voice and how he said it. Like he couldn't remember my husband's name. The only way he remembered my husband's name because he told me he had my husband report in front of him. And that's when he actually said LaDavid.
I'm not going to comment on her English. So there's that. Now, just so you know, Frederica Wilson was speaking about slain FBI agents, the building that she procured the funds for, and she made sure that was said. She said that at the dedication of the building. She's criticized Donald Trump for the bad remarks. She's saying that he knew what he was doing when he signed up. Well, she said something very similar to that during a speech in 2015.
Of the Federal Bureau of Investigation, who died valiantly on Friday, April 11th.
God, if I had to hear that voice every day, I'd kill myself.
1986, in what is still considered the bloodiest gun battle in the storied history.
Storied history.
Of the FBI. Most men and women in law enforcement leave their homes for work knowing that there is a possibility that they may not return.
Uh-oh. That sounded kind of familiar, didn't it? Kind of sounded a little bit familiar. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. President Obama said something similar, too, about law enforcement. Here's a little bit more from Maisha Johnson about the call from the president.
I heard him stumbling on trying to remember my husband's name. And that was hurting me.
My husband's name? What?
Most because if my husband is out here fighting for our country and he risks his life for our country, why can't you remember his name? And that would make me upset and cry even more because my husband was an awesome soldier. He did what it takes people, other soldiers, like 5 years to do in 3 years. So imagine if my husband was here now. It took my husband 3 years to make E5. It takes other soldiers 5 to 6 years just to make an E5.
He was a great soldier. He was. He had a very bright future in front of him. I'm praying for him. I'm praying for him. I can't imagine losing my life so early, a baby on the way and other children. Just cannot imagine the ultimate sacrifice. God bless him. God do something else to Frederica Wilson. This is where Maisha revealed to some degree the investment politically that she has in this wretched, awful congresswoman?
I didn't say anything. I just listened.
But you were upset when you got off the phone.
Oh, very, very upset and hurt. Very. It made me cry even worse.
Congresswoman Wilson reported that, and you explained she was in the car with you.
Yes.
She's been close to your family for a long time.
Yes.
She's been close to my family for a long time. Well, well, well. Isn't that interesting?
Yes. Miss Wilson, my uncle-in-law was Miss Wilson's elementary school principal. And my husband was in her 5,000 role model program. That's why she's well connected with us.
Okay. There you go. I think we kind of know what's going on. I just think it's the whole thing is sad to reveal in this way a call from the President of the United States. Donald Trump, I don't think, was trying to be flippant or a dick. He wasn't to any of the other phone calls that he made. He was calling someone he doesn't know. He's got the weight of the world on his shoulders. He's the President of the freaking United States, for God's sake. He's the President of the United States, and he took time to call you. Was the call perfect? No. Do I believe that it was flippant and disrespectful? No. The whole thing is sick. Just honestly, LeDavid, God bless you, man. Thank you for your sacrifice. You ever watch this Morning Joy on MSNBC? This is just pure propaganda. Over the weekend, University of Pennsylvania professor Salam Misha Tillett compared a survivor of Harvey Weinstein's sexual harassment to Frederica Wilson. Here's the bat guano nutty theory.
But I also want to say that all women aren't created equal in America. So it was really important for Lupita Nyong'o to come forward and share her story because there were these stories going around that, you know, this is about casting and Weinstein's own racial hierarchies amongst women. But I thought there were women of color and particularly black women that he had sexually harassed. And so we see not just mixed messages from the White House in terms of going an earlier era, but what's going on right now with Kelly and Congressman Wilson. We
Absolutely.
Should trust black women's stories with evidence, but also just the inclination to smear them so equally, or so quickly, I think, is part of the problem as well. So,
it is pure propaganda. The show is pure propaganda. Also, this Karine Jean-Pierre said that Trump in the Oval Office. This is so good. This is so a communist. Trump actually defecates on women by being in the office. Listen to this.
No, yes, Joy. I mean, look, it's incredibly problematic as someone who's raising a young girl.
Yes.
That is the wrong message to be sending to any young women as they're growing up. It is not their fault at all, and that the responsibility and the onus is on the man. We also have to make sure that men are held accountable. I think the interesting thing that we're seeing right now with the Harvey Weinstein story is that there are tangible results for what he's.
Why doesn't Bill Clinton's name ever come up? He paid off women. He literally paid off people for his harassment. You know, you've got at least one woman saying he attempted to rape her, bit her lips, said put some ice on it. That never comes up. It always immediately pivots to Donald Trump. Donald Trump never paid anybody off. Donald Trump, was he a player? Yeah, he's a player. I'm sure he was out to get a lot of the P word. Yes. Did he attack somebody? I've heard no allegations of that. There was a conversation on a bus that was unsavory and locker roomish. I get it. Grab somebody by the P word. There's no evidence that he sexually assaulted anybody.
We don't normally see. And I mean, just almost a year ago, we elected Donald Trump, who we know is a sexual assaulter.
No,
and
we don't.
People still believed him and elected.
That's propaganda, and it's not true. And nobody ever calls out people like this. Nobody ever on MSNBC, nobody ever calls them out. They let it stand.
Him. And the thing that is even crazier than that is that he now sits behind the Resolute desk in the Oval Office, essentially defecating on women, signing executive orders, taking away rights from women.
Okay, so taking away rights from women. Donald Trump is taking away rights
from women by being in the Oval Office. They're talking about revamping Obamacare, getting rid of it. And this isn't just about trying to get rid of a large government program that has been an abject failure. This is about taking away women's rights. Here's a little bit more from Karine Jean-Pierre talking again on Morning Joy. Here she is talking about the rights that Donald Trump is taking away from women.
Part of what we normally expect when you have such a big sort of issue that comes to the fore is policy that follows, flows from on high that tries to address it. What we have coming out of this administration is policy to the point made by this panel that's attempting to take away birth control, take away reproductive rights. You know,
reproductive rights has nothing to do with reproductive rights. This is all about abortion. That's all it is. And if you can't even be honest about that, just say it. Donald Trump wants to make it harder for women to get an abortion. How about that? How about instead of this bullshit line about reproductive rights, you finally be honest? How about this? How about this instead of saying you're pro-choice? How about you say you're pro-abortion? Why can't you be honest about it? It's ridiculous. And by the way, as far as birth control, buy your own damn birth control.
No, it's
birth control is cheap. You know what's not cheap? Your cable bill. All right? There are a lot of things that even poor people afford. You know? Month's supply worth of milk. That's what birth control costs.
It's an interesting time from a policy standpoint.
3 gallons of milk. Birth control's taken care of.
It really is. And also make sure that there is no equal pay for women. I mean, that's coming straight out of...
That's not true. Not true whatsoever.
The White House...
It is not true. There are two major pieces of legislation that have been passed, including Lilly Ledbetter during the Obama administration, that assures women get equal pay. Donald Trump is not saying that women should make less. That's a lie. That's BS.
In the Oval Office, I was thinking about this just now. It brings me back to almost a year ago. There is a systemic problem that we're having here, which is 2016, we had the opportunity to elect the first woman president. And what I remember hearing in focus...
Yes, but we didn't want to elect... that woman. Now I want you to listen to this, because this is a bunch of crap.
Groups was that, and from women and men.
Here, listen to this.
I remember hearing in focus groups was that, and from women and men, that this country could not be run by a woman. A woman could not be.
What focus? I want to know which focus groups. You said you're hearing about focus groups. You're not quoting a focus group. I want to see videotape. I want to hear audio, because that is a lie. Just because people didn't vote for this awful woman, Hillary Clinton, who was an awful candidate, doesn't mean that we can't handle a woman in the Oval Office. We just didn't want that woman in the Oval Office, and thank God she isn't.
President. And so there is a problem that we have that women aren't seen as a figure that could hold the higher office.
And when you lose, when these people lose, they tear down you and me. They say that you and I are sexist because we didn't vote for Hillary Clinton. We were racist because we didn't want a black man in office when we voted against Barack Obama. No, it didn't matter at all. I love the fact that we had a black man in the Oval Office. I just didn't want that black guy. All right? I didn't want that black guy because he was a socialist. He is a socialist. He had to hide his true colors about everything. To gain political office, he could not be honest. He could not say, I'm all for government-run health care, which he was. Never said it in the Oval Office. Never said it while he was running. Can't be honest, man. I mean, it's just remarkable. It really, really is. I'm sorry. You know, I don't want to be negative here, but there's just so much to talk about, and I'm just so darn mad at being called names. Everyone who voted against Hillary Clinton is a sexist, according to that woman. And it's sickening. You know, I love my mother. I love my sister. I love my wife very dearly. I want all of them to succeed in everything they do. I don't care if they make more. I don't care if my boss is a woman or a man. It doesn't matter to me. I don't care if my president is a woman or a man. Bill O'Reilly dismissed as lies and smear the details in a New York Times piece saying that 21st Century Fox had signed O'Reilly to a contract extension after O'Reilly reached a $32 million sexual harassment settlement with analyst Liz Weil. He was re-upped in February, only to be dismissed by Fox in April. O'Reilly was combative and unapologetic on Twitter. He said, quote, my investigative team have done a superb job in exposing the lies and smear. I will speak with you on Monday. He also posted a statement from spokesman Mark Fabiani saying the Times once again maliciously smeared Bill O'Reilly, this time even failing to print a sworn affidavit from his former lawyer, Liz Weil, repudiating all allegations. Then why did you give her $32 million? $32 million? Are you kidding me? I think even Harvey Weinstein only paid one woman, I think, $100,000. $32 million is a massive settlement. Fabiani accused the Times of ignoring sworn evidence in favor of unsubstantiated allegations, anonymous sources, and incomplete leaked or stolen documents. Previous harassment settlements involving O'Reilly total at least $45 million, according to the Times. O'Reilly told the Times that they were politically and financially motivated and that he never mistreated anyone, even though he's paid out $45 million to different women. In February, about 6 months after the Weil settlement, 21st Century Fox struck that new contract. Gretchen Carlson is a former Fox News host. She said that she was, she's paid off. She was paid off by the network. She weighed in on the O'Reilly settlement and said nobody pays $32 million for false allegations. Nobody. And I agree. That's bullcrap. You know, if you're going to fight it, you're going to fight it. If it's false allegations, you can beat it. With $32 million in the bank, you should be able to hire the best attorneys in the history of mankind to dig up all the evidence and beat this. He chose to pay her off. Sorry, I don't believe you, Bill. And you know what? I, as a conservative, I don't feel an obligation to be apologetic for you. I don't feel an obligation to be apologetic for Fox News, although many are. Bill O'Reilly, now still regular guest on the Glenn Beck Show. You know, sorry. I don't believe you. I think there was a culture at Fox News. And you know, Roger Ailes, a revolutionary as far as television is concerned, but a schmuck is a schmuck. If you're a schmuck, you know, I'm going to call you out on it. I'm going to call Bill O'Reilly out. There's a reason why he paid so much money to women who raised false allegations. Please, give me a break, Bill. Give me a break. I don't feel any need. I don't ever want to have you on my show. And I will never try to cover up you as a human being. And you sound like a complete D word. Harvey Weinstein says he's cured. He was a week in sex rehab. He was a week in sex rehab. He's cured. A psychologist taking part in the treatment said Weinstein was invested in the program and had focused on dealing with his anger, his attitude toward others, boundary work, and the beginnings of work on empathy. The psychologist downplayed previous reports that the 65-year-old producer had fallen asleep in group sessions. He showed up for all the meetings, was fully engaged. He was venting about some conspiracy to get him. It was an appropriate display of anger, the psychologist said. Because he was venting about conspiracy theories, even though he's an ass. Weinstein now faces criminal inquiries in three cities after Italian actress told Los Angeles detectives that he raped her in a hotel room in 2013. Weinstein has previously denied any claims of non-consensual sex. The attorney, David Ring, who represents the actress, said Friday that she provided graphic details to police and an incident that occurred while she was in the city for the Los Angeles Italia Film Festival. Oh, by the way, on Tucker Carlson's show, a woman named Nell Daly, she's a psychologist, talked about she thought that he could have completed any meaningful therapy in a week.
I would agree with you on that. I think 1 week is definitely not enough treatment time for someone who has been accused of what Harvey Weinstein's been accused of.
Yeah, you think?
So it sounds like this whole thing was a deeply cynical PR diversion.
I mean, it could have
been. Duh.
Right? We don't know. We don't know what his intentions were for actually going to treatment. I don't think he had very many options.
You know, normally this is the go-to. This is the standard. You go to therapy, right? Therapy's going to cure you. All this stuff. It's not going to work for this SOP. It's not going to go to work. And I hope he gets thrown in jail the rest of his life.
terms of his PR, a lot of people who are wealthy and powerful will do something like this in order to avoid both legal action and try to rebuild the reputation.
It's over.
So I'm not surprised he went.
What bothers me, though, is that a licensed therapist would lend his name to a statement that non-credible.
Yep.
But after a week, a guy who's been apparently chatting on a cell phone and falling asleep in group meetings is on his way to a cure. As someone who practices psychotherapy, mm-hmm. you can confirm that's ridiculous, correct?
I would say that, yes.
Okay, there you go. And it is. You don't cure 40 years of sexual assault, sexual harassment, rape with a week in therapy. Unbelievable. Corey Feldman is finally trying to get justice. Nobody listened to Corey Feldman when he came out a couple years ago. Nobody listened when Corey Haim killed himself. He couldn't take it anymore. Corey Haim, as a kid, was raped in Hollywood. That's what Corey Feldman said. He was raped, passed around by male movie producers. He's quoted in the New York Times saying, "I will not be going on a talk show to disclose names of my abuser or anyone else's abusers. However, I'm working on my plan that might shed some light on this situation if I can figure out a way to get actual justice while not risking my safety and well-being. You will know when that time comes. Let me add, this is not about fear of being sued. Yes, there's a real possibility, but the bigger reason is safety for my family." Unbelievable. And you wonder why he was so messed up, and you make fun of the you know, the drug-addled child stars. You got to wonder what's going on. Lindsay Lohan, you wonder what's going on there. She's a case. Nancy Pelosi, speaking of cases, had some trouble talking over the weekend. She was on MSNBC, and I want you to listen to what she called Robert Mueller. All right, here's Nancy Pelosi being confused and stumbling through another answer.
If Robert Mueller comes back with a report saying that there is evidence of collusion between Donald Trump's campaign and Russia, do you believe he should be impeached?
First of all, it's not going to happen because there is no evidence of collusion. It was all a cover up of Uranium One. And the BS that the Clintons were doing. It's all been a distraction. That's it.
Well, it first of all, what does Mueller, where does Mueller take that?
Mother? She called him Mother.
But his burden of proof is different than what it would be in the Congress of the United States. And people should know that
yeah.
He could go to a criminal investigation of some of the people he's investigating. What we're doing is saying the measure of behavior,
yeah.
the Constitution of the United States, highest yeah. crimes and misdemeanors. But in any case, we've got to fight this. This tax bill is Armageddon. This is
allowing you to keep more of your money is Armageddon, by the way. Donald Trump is Hitler. White supremacists live in the White House. And allowing people to keep their money is Armageddon, the end of the earth. All life on earth vanishes.
This hurts the middle class. It is an opportunity cost for our investments in our budget.
Right.
We're for a better deal, better jobs, better yeah. pay, a better future.
Yeah. For 8 years, Barack Obama and the Democrats promised that all was going to happen. Why didn't it happen? Better job, better future. Why didn't it happen? You were in control for 8 years. Why didn't it happen? Unreal. Oh, Hillary Clinton on the Uranium One deal. This is good. She was being interviewed. I'm not sure where this was. Fox News? No. Anyway, she was talking over the weekend, and here's what she had to say about the uranium deal. Listen carefully, kids.
As you know, Sean Hannity on his program has been very critical of the Uranium One deal. The president saying, with regard to Russia, that's the real story in all of this. What would you say to those critics?
I would say it's the same baloney they've been peddling for years, and there's been no credit.
Could be a right-wing conspiracy.
Evidence by anyone. In fact, it's been debunked repeatedly and will continue to be debunked. But here's what they're doing.
Well, the reason why the evidence, I guess, maybe isn't there is because it was in the 36,000 emails that you destroyed, that you made go bye-bye conveniently. Like, we're supposed to believe that 36,000 emails were about your daughter's wedding and yoga Really?
And really, I have to give them credit. You know, Trump...
36,000 emails! I haven't sent that many emails in my life!
His allies, including Fox News, are really experts at distraction and diversion.
Yes.
So the closer the investigation about real Russian ties between Trump associates and real Russians...
No evidence of that.
As we heard Jeff Sessions finally admit to in his testimony the other day, the more they want to just throw mud on the wall, and I'm their favorite target.
Meaning, yeah.
You know,
she's a victim. She's a victim.
President Obama. We're the ones that they always like to put into the crosshairs. So, yes, I'm not surprised, but I think the real story is how nervous they are about these continuing investigations.
Not really. Actually, there's nothing there. And that's going to be found out. But I want to ask you a question. Okay, so right about the time, 2009, is we found out that the Russians were bribing, giving people kickbacks, laundering money, paying off people to try to get the Uranium One deal through. The government knew about it. The FBI knew about it. Hillary Clinton was on a board that was that approved it. Okay. All of a sudden, in that time, right before approval, her husband suddenly gets a $500,000 to speak in Russia for one of these companies associated with the deal. And the Clinton Foundation somehow got $145 million from them, from Uranium One. $145 million. Now, if the Clinton Foundation was truly a credible charity, why didn't everybody who had $145 million put $145 million in? Pay for play, folks. Pay for play. I hope to God that we get to the bottom of this and that woman goes to jail. I really do. Tom Steyer is a billionaire in California, Democrat mega donor. He's buying $10 million in national advertising, calling for President Trump's impeachment. The ad is called Join Us. Hashtag Join Us. Here is the ad that is running, featuring basically California's version of George Soros. By the way, if this were the Koch brothers, the media would be going bat guano.
Us to the brink of nuclear war, obstructed justice at the FBI.
Really?
And in direct violation of the Constitution. He's taken money from foreign governments and threatened to shut down news organizations that report the truth. If that isn't a case for impeaching and removing a dangerous president, then what has our government become? I'm Tom Steyer.
I don't know. The government, the last 8 years, used the IRS to go after conservative groups who wanted 501c3 status. The government used a discredited report from a former secret MI6 member about Donald Trump renting a hotel room in London, hiring prostitutes to pee on a bed that Michelle and Barack Obama slept in at one point. And they went to the FISA court, and the FISA court gave them permission to bug Trump Tower, members of the Trump campaign, and the transition team. So what has our government become, kids?
And like you, I'm a citizen who knows it's up to us to do something. It's why I'm funding this effort to raise our voices together and demand that elected officials take a stand on impeachment. A Republican Congress wants...
You know, this is only going to get worse the more successful the president is, and he's being very successful, particularly with the economy. You've got 3% growth in the second quarter. They said that wouldn't happen. It didn't happen at all during the Obama administration. You've got unemployment claims at the lowest since 1973 last week. Dow Jones above 23,000 for the first time last week as well. The more success this president has, the more this is going to happen, because it's meant to serve as a distraction to end his presidency before he could become a historical president. And I don't particularly enjoy defending Donald Trump. I just think some of the things he does, and I don't approve of everything he's doing, but many of the things that he is doing, like getting rid of regulation, he's kicking ass.
Impeached a president for far less.
Haven't heard of any chemical bombs being dropped on Syrians by the Syrian government lately, have you? Oh, yeah, because Donald Trump kicked their ass.
Yet today, people in Congress and his own...
Believe Raqqa was taken back from ISIS, and ISIS is getting its ass kicked.
The administration know that this president is a clear and present danger.
Who's meant danger to Democrats. A danger to having a Democrat president in 2018 or 2020.
Mentally unstable and armed with nuclear weapons.
Wow.
And they do nothing.
No.
Join us.
Join us.
And tell your member of Congress that they have a moral responsibility to stop doing what's political and start doing what's right.
Yeah.
Our country depends on it.
Oh, whatever. You douche. what an incredible douche. Billionaire douche. Jemele Hill, back at ESPN, and she was interviewed at the airport. I think she realized that by saying that people should, what did she say, boycott the Cowboys or something, that she was biting the hand that fed her. Here she is talking at the airport about how ESPN was basically right.
It doesn't really matter what I think. I think, you know, as
well, it matters to us.
No, it matters to people, but like, here's the reality. It's like ESPN acted what they felt was right. And, you know.
Listen, I've worked for broadcast companies. You don't threaten the company you work for. I don't care where you work. You just don't do that. This is a freshman mistake. This is stupidity. And she's lucky to still have a job. Being a broadcaster, or particularly a television broadcaster, is a blessing you would not believe. I have been a radio broadcaster in some of the biggest markets in the country, and I have enjoyed the largesse of those positions. I've been on vacations. I've been on trips. I've made a lot of money. I've never been rich, but I've been, you know, did very well. Did very well. There are a lot of perks. And sometimes people, they need to realize that, you know, you live in another world than most people. You are celebrated. You are admired. People want selfies with you. You get free stuff. You get to go to shows. You get to go to, you know, like I said, on trips. And occasionally you need a little smackdown, a little reality check, Jemele.
I don't have any argument or quibble with that. I would tell people absolutely after my Donald Trump tweets, I deserve that suspension.
There you go.
Like, wow. Absolutely. Like, I violated the policy. I deserve that suspension. You know, going forward, like, we'll be in a good, healthy place. It'll be fine.
Okay. Basically, she almost lost her job. She could have very easily ruined her career, all because she felt political activism was more important than her job. I'm not a political activist by any means, but I'm a political commentator, you know, and I write comedy and all that stuff. So I this is what I do. She's a sportscaster. Let's see. An Ivy League teacher only calls on white men if she has to. University of Pennsylvania, there is a woman named Stephanie McKellop, and she openly admits she calls on students in a particular order based on race and gender. She said on Twitter, "I will always call on my black women students first. Other people of color get a second tier priority. White women come next, and if I have to, white men." I guess white men's money is different paying for classes than women of color's money. McCullough is using a teaching method referred to as progressive stacking. This is unreal. Progressive stacking means giving members of marginalized groups the opportunity to speak before perceived dominant groups. The idea behind this method is that professors bring implicit subconscious biases into the classroom, and a hierarchy that elevates marginalized groups accounts for that. It has both supporters and critics within the academic realm. It's racism. Jesse Daniels, sociology professor at Hunter College, says, "If I have a class of 40 students, since Hunter is predominantly young women, I may have 4 or 5 young men in the class. There's still implicit bias, where we value men's voices more than women's voices, or men's voices are deeper and can carry more in class. So I'm always trying to overcome my own bias to pick on men in class more than the women." They're so twisted with overthinking things. I mean, just freaking teach, idiots. How about that? You know, implicit bias. I don't give a rat's behind if you're black or white. And if you have an implicit bias like she does, if you think this way, you're a racist. You're a racist and you're a sexist. That's it. If you think that way, you're not better than me. You are much worse than I could ever be, because I don't have those implicit biases. I don't care. This is a kind of a jerk move. High school called Gray, New Gloucester High School. They were playing a team called Yarmouth. Coach apparently found out that one of the players has two lesbian parents. And so when the player was tackled, he instructed his players to say, "Who's your daddy?" to them, to the kid. The boy's parents, Lynn and Stephanie Eckersley-Ray, said they were told about the coach's order before the game by parents. "We found out because some Gray parents and players stepped forward and we're extremely thankful to them. They did what they could about it, and we were appreciative and thankful for it." The coach has been, he has resigned. What a, just an ass, just a childish, asinine, cruel thing to say to a kid. And you know, when kids are adopted, I don't care if parents are gay. No. There are a lot of bad straight parents out there. A lot of, and again, these people are just twisted up in their own, ideology, to the point that across the country there are warnings for cultural appropriation and cultural appropriation workshops at campuses for Halloween. It's Halloween when you get dressed and you go to a party or you go trick-or-treating. Center for Student Diversity and Towson University in Maryland posted a "We're a Culture, Not a Costume" reminder to students. Halloween costumes that are based on ethnic, racial, religious, gender ability, and other cultural stereotypes are hurtful and reduce people's identities into caricatures. Yeah, so your intent may be far different than the impact. What you might want to wear for one night is a stigma that others wear for life. Oh, frickin' give me a break. Six pictures posted with a message, including one of a female in a burqa and another with a Mexican hat. Pictures are paired with an example of an inappropriate costume based on that identity. Honestly, this is just shut the hell up. Humboldt State University, California, hosting a cultural appreciation versus cultural appropriation workshop. Listen, if you dress as a vampire, is that culturally appropriating Transylvanians? Isn't it kind of doing that, you know? When you dress as a zombie, aren't you culturally appropriating the undead when you're not dead? Huh? Finally, Halloween candy, which I have not bought yet. I'm going to buy a day or two before Halloween because my wife will not have it in the house. Because my kids and my wife eat it. And then I have to go out and replace it for Halloween. But here's how, these are kids' top 10 candies versus adults' top 10 candies. Let's start with adults. More chocolate-oriented, not a surprise. Reese Cups, M&M's, Swedish Fish, which I love, Hershey's Kisses, candy corn, Fun Dip. As an adult, you're still eating Fun Dip with a sugar spoon, whatever the hell. Snickers and Kit Kats, okay? The only overlay between the two groups is M&M's. Adults and kids like M&M's. Kids' top 10 candies include Smarties, Starburst, love Starburst, Twix, Nerds, Skittles, yeah. Sour Patch Kids, love them. Laffy Taffy, really? And like I said, M&M's. That's what they like. I like sour gummy bears. Love them, love them, love them. There's a local store. They sell them, and you can get them by the pound. And I pound the hell out of them. All right, guys, that's going to do it for me. I hope you've enjoyed the podcast. It is my birthday. And for those, by the way, October is the biggest day or month for births in the country. Did you know that? You know why? Valentine's Day. Anyway, for my birthday, I've given you this show. Will you become a member of Liberty One TV? LibertyOneTV.com. We got some more talent coming to the pool, and you're going to love it. I swear. We got some big names coming. All you got to do is sign up. 33 cents a day, $99 a year, $10 a month. You're not going to miss it. And you're going to get a lot of content. You're going to get a lot of benefits, discounts from the online store, among other things. All right. Also, check out tpublic.com/user/conservatives. Some of the great designs. That's my personal line of apparel and swag. Thank you for joining me today, guys. God bless you, and we will see you again here, and you will hear me here again tomorrow. Take care.
Thanks for listening to The Rob Carson Show. Friend him on Facebook,
you guys rock,
at Carson Show, on Twitter at Rob Carson, and on Instagram, I think Facebook and Twitter are enough for now. We'll see you soon.